The opinions expressed on this show do not necessarily represent those of the management of KUCI or the UC Board of Regents. For more information about this show, go to kuci.org.
You're listening to KUCI 88.9 in Irvine.
Welcome to In the Garden. This is a radio program hosted by the University of California Master Gardeners. I'm a Mark Fearley, host for today, and today's subject will be weeds. Now, why weeds? Okay, think about this. Weeds are traditionally one of the three reasons gardeners stop gardening. Give you an example. It's early spring, and frosts are past, and the urge to work in the garden overwhelms us. So we start out by cleaning out the old beds, rototill or dig up the soil, and add our compost or amendments, and begin to plant what we want. After the plants begin to grow, then come the vicious weeds. And that's what we're going to be talking about today. I have a wonderful guest, Dr. Cheryl Willen. Cheryl is the area IPM advisor in Orange County. And welcome, Cheryl. Where, you know, I know you, we said you're an IPM area IPM advisor. What does IPM mean?
Okay, well, thanks, Mark. Thank you for inviting me to come and speak on your radio show. I really appreciate this opportunity. So IPM is a short...
It's okay.
So IPM stands for Integrated Pest Management. So you often hear people talking about an IPM program, and IPM is used as a method so that one just doesn't rely on pesticides as the main method of pest management.
Can you tell us what those other areas are involving?
Okay, so what the other things that someone might integrate, so we're going back to the IPM, integrated pest management terminology, some things that people might integrate in pest management would be rather than just using a chemical type of control, one could, so we're talking about weeds, so one might hand pull weeds. And I know that's not what people's favorite thing to do is.
That's a mechanical issue, right?
That's right, that's right. So that would be something that's considered manacle. It could be manacle, I guess, maniacal. But that's one method. Or you could do something that's considered a cultural type of pest management.
And what does that mean?
So that would mean, for example, one could plant their transplants a little bit closer together, and that would shade out or otherwise outcompete weeds that are coming up. So that's
I like that.
Oh yeah, it's a great method of pest management. You can use that in your ornamental planting beds, or you could use it in your home garden. You could do it a number of different ways. If you have a big area, you might even consider trying something like a cover crop. Mm-hmm. So,
what do you mean a cover crop?
Okay, so a cover crop would be something like planting on purpose something like a clover that might die when it gets cold. So you'd plant it in the spring, and then it would grow through the summer, and then it would outcompete all the weeds that might be between the rows of your vegetable garden or your fruit trees. And then you can mow it, or when you mow it, you just leave the clippings back between the rows, and that gives back some organic matter. And then because it's clover, that also provides some nitrogen to the soil, to the plants that they're growing. So that's just one example of a cover crop. But the idea is that that will smother out the weeds, and in place of that, you get something that actually gives something back that's better for what you want to grow.
Would you consider adding mulch to the top of the soil as a cultural?
That's actually considered a physical method of weed. So you have your cultural, Okay, so that'd be the, for example, the example I gave you was using plants planted close together. You have your mechanical, that would be hand weeding or rototilling or something like that. And then mulch is considered physical because it's a physical cover over the soil surface that suppresses the growth of weeds. So the way that mulches suppress the growth of weeds, and I'm talking about what we call organic mulch, and that would be things like bark or wood chips, rice hulls, even a layer of compost if the compost isn't very fine. Anything that goes over the top of a soil surface is considered a mulch. So that blocks out light, and all plants need light to grow. So by putting down a nice thick layer of mulch, as the weeds emerge, they don't get enough light to continue their growth. So mulches are really great. I love mulches, the organic type. Again, when I use organic, I mean they're plant-based. They're not necessarily organic in the sense that they were produced without any chemicals, because many times we don't know that. A lot of times they're just from tree clippings or trees that have been ground up after they've been cut down. But mulches are really good because as they decompose, they also, not only do they protect the surface from soil, from weed emergence, but they also give back good organic matter into the soil.
Cheryl, with pesticides, when do we get to use pesticides?
Okay, so that's a great question, Mark. I appreciate you asking that. So now we've covered cultural, physical, mechanical methods of pest management. So Mark asked me about chemical management. So chemicals can be organic. You know, because a lot of people think when they're growing something organically or when they buy something organically, it's not, no chemicals are being used, no pesticides are being used. And that's actually untrue. Pesticides can be organic or inorganic or synthetic, sometimes that's called. So you can either decide to use a pesticide, and again, I'm going to say pesticides are organic or inorganic, when you've tried all the other methods and you find that you just need a little bit of a boost to take care of some pests that aren't being controlled by these other methods, or you can use them in concert with these other methods. So, for example, you might be using mulch, but you find that you're getting some weeds growing, still growing through, particularly perennial weeds, growing through the mulch. In that case, you might decide to use some kind of translocated herbicide that would kill the weeds growing through the mulch that aren't being controlled by it.
Any recommendations on what to use or what not to use? I know something like Roundup has gotten a few...
So Roundup is a synthetic herbicide, and the reason people really like to use that is because it is non-selective, which means it kills both broadleaves and grasses. And also it is used for annuals and perennials. And the reason it's very effective is because you can spray it on one part of the plant, the emerge part, and it moves through the sort of the circulatory system of the plant to get to the roots. And so it's very effective. It's relatively fast acting, and you don't really, unfortunately, you don't have to really think about what plants it works on and what plants it doesn't. I personally don't have any problem with people using synthetic pesticides, including Roundup, as long as they are very, very careful about following what is written on the label. And the label provides a wealth of information about how to use pesticides safely. So if you are using pesticides, it is very, very important that you read the label and you follow the label directions to a T. So for example, if it says use 2 tablespoons per gallon, do not put 4 tablespoons per gallon into the container. It won't give you any more better control.
So what you're saying is more is not necessarily better.
More is never better. It's not a not necessarily. It's more is never better.
Particularly in the area of plants.
In pesticides. You know, there's been a lot of testing. I personally do a lot of testing of these products. And then that information that I develop goes back on the label so that the company can tell people exactly how much to use so that they don't overuse the pesticide.
Let me ask you a little off the side here. You have a great deal of background in probably not only weeds, but a lot of other things. How did you get involved in
that's funny. Area? So I, do you want to know the real reason?
Or sure.
That it's so
tell
cool.
Us.
So yeah. I actually.
We won't, please don't and, tell anybody and it, else.
Yeah, I think kids might find this funny if they're listening to this, but. So I always had a garden when I was growing up. I had apple trees, I had a grapevine, I had a vegetable garden where I grew pumpkins and other kinds of vegetables and so forth. And I really enjoyed it. But I just really like science. So when I went to get my bachelor's degree, I didn't really know what I wanted to go into. So I just flipped through the catalog of what the majors were, and I just found something that had to do with science, but it wasn't something that I had to take years of physics or years of chemistry or math. And it turned out that horticulture was the degree that was listed, where you had to take about half your courses were in biology and plant science and plant physiology, and you had to take a year of chemistry and some entomology and so forth. But it was very practical, and I thought, there's the major for me. So that's how I got into it. It wasn't
very
like I just said, I really want to be a horticulturist, but I matched my interest into what major it was. And so, I mean, just to follow up on that, I was really lucky to have my job when I was working. I worked my way through school working at a research farm.
Oh,
and so
goodness.
The researcher that I worked with weeds and vegetable crops. And so it just naturally, I just moved through that area through my bachelor's degree, my master's degree, and then all the way into my PhD degree.
Very interesting story.
Oh, thank you.
And to me, it just shows what we learn as youngsters.
Mm-hmm. That's true. That's very
comes
true.
We find out what we like, mm-hmm. and where we can take it from there. So,
yeah.
What an interesting story. I appreciate what you've told us. I have another little question, and I'm sure you have some areas that you would like to talk about to our listeners to help them contain and control, because as I mentioned, weeds are one of the three major reasons people stop gardening, because they get overwhelmed with them. And usually it's about June, late June, early July, when the hot season starts to approach, and the weeds just take over.
I'm just a little curious. What are the other two reasons?
Oh, thank you for asking. Well, one, it's hard work. Mm-hmm. And the third reason is bad results.
Mm. Okay.
So let's look at those three. We don't have to, but today we're only talking about weeds.
Well, yeah, I can see how all the three of those things could tie together.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So
now, where do weeds come from?
Okay, so weeds, that is a great question, because we have to go back a little bit into sort of the science of weeds. So many times you'll start your garden, you think, oh, this is wonderful, I'm just going to have this bare ground, and I'm going to, as you described earlier, start work it up, and set out the rows and plant my seeds, and voila, I'm going to have a bountiful harvest. Well, what is in the soil that you may not be aware of, you might not even have known this is happening, but the soil has thousands and thousands of weed seeds in it. So they may be suppressed until something happens that gets them to germinate.
Like we dig them up.
Like you dig them up. They may be, 4 or 5 inches below ground, and until they get to maybe the top 1 or 2 inches, they will just be very happy being underground.
Gotcha.
But when you bring them up to the soil surface and start irrigating, watering, then they're they just go, wow, you know, now's the time for me to start germinating and coming up. So that soil seed bank stores all those seeds until they're ready to be withdrawn, just like your bank would be that holds your money.
Sure.
So you're ready to take them out until something happens that says, I need to start growing. So that is one of the reasons why when people start, especially in a new garden, where as soon as they start irrigating, then they start getting a flush of weeds.
Uh-huh.
And that's also, if we ever get rain again, we'll probably see that is there's soil, plenty of weed seeds in the soil on the hillsides, for example. But until we get rain, till we get that environmental stimulus, those weed seeds are just going to sit there. When we get rain, that's when we start seeing the hillsides turn green because all those seeds that are ready to germinate, boom, they do that. And the same thing in your garden. They're waiting. You get some irrigation on, boom, they're going to come up.
And it's amazing when you see a hillside, for example, after it's been burnt by a by a fire or something. And we have some...
Mm-hmm. That's exactly right.
Rain, and all of a sudden...
Yes, it comes up. And so that's just another example about how... Remember earlier on I talked about competition?
Yes.
Well, a lot of times we see this big flush of weeds growing, or sometimes they're native plants. Don't get me wrong if we're talking about the hillsides, but they start germinating just because they don't have competition from other plants after a fire. Yeah. There's also cases where the fire does stimulate germination, don't get me wrong, but a lot of times this flush is just because the competitive plants that were reducing the growth
were gone.
Right, yes. Okay.
Are there some areas that you would like to talk about that would be helpful to our gardeners that are listening today?
Okay, so that gets back to the conversation's really going in a great direction, because one of the things that you said earlier that you pointed out, that you said after the plants begin to grow, you start to have weeds. In reality, the weeds typically start coming up before your crop starts coming up, and the weeds become more competitive to the crop, and that's the big problem. So what you want to do is turn the tables on the weeds. You want the crop to be more competitive than the weeds. And the way that you can do that, for example, in your garden, is you plant transplants whenever you can, rather than seeds. Okay? Because then the transplants are already starting to grow, and they will have a head start over whatever weeds come up. And then over time, particularly something like tomatoes or squash that tends to have what we call a good canopy that can shade the ground. So that once they really get that canopy growing and the ground shaded, even if you do get some weeds coming up later, they won't be very competitive because they don't have enough light to grow. You know, as I said, all plants, you know, weeds are plants, and all plants need light. And generally, the more light they get, the more vigorous they're going to be.
Sure.
So you want your crop to be the vigorous plant in the garden.
And provide the shade to
keep out the other weeds. Now, the other thing that you can do, which is something that a lot of commercial growers do, is they will pre-irrigate the garden. So that's even before you plant anything.
Mm-hmm.
What you do is you get your bed all ready, okay? Then you just water it.
And I've never heard of that before, but it sounds like a wonderful thing. Why haven't I thought of that before?
There's a lot of things that home gardeners can do that commercial growers have done, and you can adapt that. So you pre-irrigate it, okay, but by pre-irrigating, I mean that's irrigating before you put the crop in, and then you wait till you get a good flush of weeds come out. And then once those weed seeds germinate, because those are the ones that would have germinated when you plant your crop, right? So now you've got a nice little green area, because now it's all covered with weeds, and you go through that with a hoe, very, very shallow. You just scrape the soil, okay?
Uh-huh.
You don't want to work the soil up again, and do you know why?
Well, you don't want to get more plants that have, or seeds that have been laying there dormant.
Right, exactly.
Deeper into the soil,
sure.
It seemed to me.
Uh-huh. Right, that's perfect. So you get an A+ on that one. So, yeah, so you scrape off, again with a hoe, you just scrape it off or do very, very shallow cultivation, no more than an inch, and just get rid of all those weeds that have germinated. Then if you want to, you can do it again. Okay? So usually, you usually wait about 10 days after your first irrigation to get a good flush of weed seeds. You scrape them off, then you irrigate again, and you can do that one more time, and then you plant your crop, you know, whether it's going to be seeds or transplants. And that should get rid of a lot of the weeds that would have germinated at the same time as your garden, is when you plant your garden.
Yeah. Pretty simple.
Yeah. It's just you have to be patient and you have to pre-plan, okay? So you have to give yourself about 2 weeks before you're planning on actually planting. It works great. It really does.
Wonderful. Okay. That is great advice. Things that is easy for us to do without being frustrated.
Right. Yeah, absolutely.
And it gives our muscles a little workout.
That's right. Yes.
Which is good.
So between that and then if you can use some kind of mulch, that would be great. If you want to use a plastic mulch, that's fine too. But remember that you've got to find some way to put the water down near the plants.
Yes.
So if you're using plastic mulch, you're either going to have to use drip irrigation, or else get your hose out and water the places where the
plants are coming up.
Yeah, right. And keep in mind, a lot of times that hole where the plants are coming out will be the place where you're going to get some weeds. But it's a lot easier to pull the weeds out of that section, that little hole, than it is to do out of the whole planting area.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, so that's where weeds come from, dormant seeds that have been down below for probably many, many, many hundreds or thousands of years.
Well, not quite that long.
Not quite.
but they could be down from, 1 year to sometimes 20 years.
I see.
Okay? And there's a saying that, just take this with a grain of salt, but it's 1 year of seeds, 7 years of weeds. And so that kind of gets to the next step, is that another way to reduce weeds in the long term is don't let the ones that you have go to seed. Okay? So you want to control them very early on. You want to pull them up before they get the seed, because otherwise you're restoring that seed bank.
Well, I've heard that too by my the gardener that cuts my lawn. Mm-hmm. We have weeds in our lawn. But if you let them go to seed, they're going to almost take over your lawn.
Right. Especially the ones that blow. Okay, so that'd be like your dandelion, your sow thistle, your groundsel. Yes, so they get picked up by the wind, and they can go quite a distance. You know,
and wind is a great conveyor.
That's right. Yes. Things. Yeah. So, and to tell you the truth, weeds, many of them have adapted to be spread from place to place. So they have seeds that are adapted for wind dispersal. There's some that are adapted to be moved in the water. There's some that can be on animals' fur and then on your shoes or socks. And then you say, oh my gosh, what's this? And you drop it. You pull it off your sock and then you drop it. So weeds are very adapted to different environments, and they spread pretty easily.
Well, that's great advice. And where they come from, you've told us about that, how to control them. Is there anything else that would be helpful for you, for our listeners? And I'm sure you've got a wealth of of information. Just while we're still doing this, is there a site or some place that our listeners that are having an unusual problem with weeds, where they can learn more about how to control along that line?
Sure. Yeah. So the first place I tell people to go, if you just want information, is to go to the University of California's Integrated Pest Management website. And that is ipm.ucanr.edu. And if you click on the page that says Home and Garden Pests, you can find a lot of information about weeds in there. On the left-hand side, I believe, I'm just going off the top of my head, there's a link that says Weed Gallery that will help you identify the weeds. So often in pest management, the first thing you need to do is identify what you have. Another good site to find out what the weed is, you know, for identification, is from the Weed Research Information Center based at Davis, and that website is wric.ucdavis.edu, and there's a link on that page that says something like Weed Identification Guide. I believe you have to go through a couple clicks to get to the set to get you that, but it's a pretty easy method to identify weeds. And then finally, I really want people to take advantage of the Master Gardeners, the UC Master Gardeners in Orange County, and they have a helpline that you can email them with your questions about weed management or weed identification or any other kind of gardening question that you might have. And that email is hotline, hotline, at uccemg.com.
Wonderful. A lot of information. And if they contact, go on the either any one of those websites, they can get information that will help them with these weeds that kind of frustrate us from time to time, but the information you have provided today will be very helpful, because very soon weed growing season will be here.
That's right. That's Look out.
Do we find, just as from information standpoint, that weeds germinate at primarily the spring, or how about the fall?
So weeds are generally, weeds are classified in a number of different ways. Sometimes they're annual, perennial, broadleaf, narrowleaf, sedges, but sometimes they're just classified as winter weeds and summer weeds. And so winter weeds will germinate generally when it starts getting cool, so that's about now, and they'll grow through the cool part of the year. And then when it gets hot, they'll die, and then about that time, the summer weeds, when it starts getting warmer, will start to germinate, and they'll grow through the summer, and then they'll die when it's cool. So an example of a winter weed would be something like sow thistle, whereas an example of a summer weed would be everybody's favorite, which is crabgrass.
Aha. Okay. Very good. Cheryl, we've just about fulfilled our time. Maybe someday in the future you could come back. You're a great interviewer and wonderful advice for our listeners. Probably advice that they don't get any other place. And thank you again for coming.
You're welcome. Thank you.
If you have any questions about today's show, or if you have any general gardening questions that you'd like a personalized answer for, please feel free to visit our hotline and send us an email at hotline@uccemg.com. You can also visit the Master Gardener website at www.uccemg.com for lots of good information on gardening and also a schedule of events where we'll be speaking.